Hi. Gay is not sin, and Jesus is not asking the gay person to change and be straight. Can't find in the Bible that gay is sin. People, I know lots of you out there just believing in your guts that gay is sin. I'd like to ask you some questions, because I haven't gotten the answer, and I've been seeking the answer for ever since I've been on TV here. I'm asking you to tell me how you get the Bible to condemn gays. Now, I've been a Christian for 33 years, and I'm Assembly of God, Pentecostal, speak in tongues every day type of thing. People prophesy over me all the time, and God reveals lots of stuff to me. I have visions and such, I'm not trying to boast or anything. But listen, I'm a Christian. No matter what you want to believe, I'm a Christian. I know something about the Bible. I've been on TV here for 22 years talking to you. And as you notice, there's a phone number on the television screen. I've talked to at least 700,000 of you that think gay is sin. I've talked to lots of people that don't believe gay is sin. And so I know a few things. I've done a little bit of studying and research, particularly concerning the Bible. For 33 years I've been doing this. And I know the verses that are used by people like you to condemn gays. My question to you, the most educated of you, and those of you who just believe that you think that you know that gay is sin. My question to you is, how do you know this? Who told you? Now, there's some criteria, you know. Christians, you're not born yesterday. When you accept Jesus, you begin to walk in Christ, and you go listen to your pastor and all manner of people teaching the Bible. You're reading the Bible, and you're reading things of concerning the Bible of your interest, and you're doing all the things that Christians do when they accept Jesus. So what I am asking you is, in this studying that you have done, somehow you have this idea that gay is sin. Now, if you had gone to college and got your doctorate degree, and maybe you've gone on and become a household name, you know, there are many household name ministers. We flip on the TV here, and we can, yes, just about any time, day or night, you can see somebody preaching on TV. Now, if you are so educated and so knowledgeable, and you're so close to Jesus, that they have, God, Holy Spirit, Jesus, have revealed to you, and you have confirmed it in the Bible, then shouldn't you be able to explain to a gay person why gay is sin? How you got your information that gay is sin? The Bible verses and the word meanings that says gay is sin? That's, like I said, I've talked to 700,000 of you, at least. I stopped counting a long time ago. I can't find any of you that will tell me. I mean, why is it so hard? Even the simplest words, I can't get you to explain to me. In a conversation, I could ask you, what is a sodomite? And you would just say, it's a gay person. God destroyed Sodom for it. It's sodomy. And all these kinds of stuff. But I am asking you a specific question. What is a sodomite? I didn't tell you to guess. I didn't tell you to grasp at your, you know, like, somehow or another you're speaking English. Do you remember learning the words? Or was it around 3 or 4 years old or something, you just was speaking English? Is it like you've always spoken English? And you learn more words each day. Some of those times you can remember as you learn more words. But generally speaking, you cannot remember learning English. You just spoke it. So people can then teach you new words by speaking English to you and saying, this is what this new word means. And you understand it because you understand English. So then, with the explanation of English words, you can then understand a new English word. And so you don't need so many English words, you could just use your new English word. Words have meaning, they come from someplace. And you can't rely on, you automatically know it, it's just there. It's like you somehow really believe, you saw absolutely proof sometime. And apparently you just forgot it because you can't explain it to a gay person. What you will explain to a gay person is you will tell a gay person that it's in the Bible. You will tell a gay person God hates it. Or you will say, at least love the person and hate the sin. And you mean the sin is being gay or practicing it. But, you know, none of these explanations says verse, book, chapter. None of it says that. But lots of you will grab a verse. There are technically only 14 verses that for 700 some years the church has been using to condemn gays. Now, you could go ahead and grab lots of sin verses and condemn general sin by using even more verses against general sin. But general sin just covers the whole gamut, not an orientation, not particular acts. So you cannot use the whole Bible to try to make some sort of sin that you think is sin even more wicked. Because what you're doing is saying something that's a sin. So before any other Bible verse can apply, you have to show that the sin you're talking about is a sin. And you have 14 verses that has been generally accepted by the church for 700 years. There's no magical 15th or 16th verses. There's only 14. And 7 of those 14 verses uses the word sodomite. So you can't even say there's 14 actual, there's only 8. Because if you find out what sodomite means, then you can say sodomite means this, so that takes care of the other, all 7 of them. Because they mean the same thing. Every instance of the word sodomite in the Bible means the same thing. And so here I am, week after week, mentioning or going into detail about, can you explain why you say gay is sin? Don't you even want to think about it? Doesn't it come to your mind? Or is it just that you're going to condemn gays no matter what? That's all it is. There's some reason why you cannot explain how you get gay to be sin. Now, if nobody's around to point things out to you, then as far as you're saying is, yes, this verse says gay is sin, God hates it, and there's nobody to ask you more information about your statement, then as far as you're concerned, I suppose you think you're proving it. To prove gay is sin, you need to pick out a verse in the Bible, and you need to go over that verse. Someplace in that verse is the meaning that says gay is sin. So you have to bring that. That's what I'm asking you to do. If you're going to condemn gay people, or you're going to condemn me and say gay is sin, if you're going to believe gay is sin, then this is what I'm asking you to do. I get phone calls from you. I get email. I get chat. Lots of different ways that you communicate with me. 700,000 of you. And for some reason or another, you cannot take enough time to explain where in a verse you come up with it's talking about gay people. Now, I don't know for sure how to get this across to you, but I'm going to try. Because maybe one of these days, one of you will be able to explain how you get the word sodomite to mean homosexual. I just don't get it. Because sodomite can't be a more specific Hebrew word. And you can't be, what word can I use? Dumb enough to use modern evolutions of words. Because this is not, Paul wasn't going around and speaking, thinking about 2,000 years later, this word he's going to use is going to evolve into something else. No, when Paul or Moses or any of the people that had their writings in the Bible, they wrote according to the dictionaries of the day. What the word meant when Moses was alive. What the word meant when Paul was alive. This is called the original meaning. You cannot go to modern Greek or modern Hebrew. Now, some words are very similar to what they used to mean. But words over time evolve. The word sodomite evolved. It took an evolution in the 1990s, where before it had 1, 2, 3 meanings. Now they've added 4, 5, 6 meanings onto, if you go get certain concordances. Where'd they come up with this? I know where they came up with it, and it's not from the original language. Sodomite means male temple prostitute. And you can't change that. You got historical record to back it up. You got the actual temples that these prostitutes went to. We know in recorded history that Paul went to a fertility temple that had 1,000 temple prostitutes in it before he wrote the book of Romans. We know that for a fact. In that temple that Paul went to visit, he turned it. He was a tourist. And he visited like on vacation. Interesting. Nice. Look at, there's the statue to the unknown God in this temple. Then later on, in more books further in the New Testament, Paul writes, and you have this statue to the unknown God. And he went on to preach, this is God. Son named Jesus. Died on the cross and went on to preach the gospel. You got to do something like that when you're saying gay is sin. If you're going to use Romans chapter 1, verse 26-27, you got to use 18-32. You can't use just 26-27. You got to know what Paul did. He went to a fertility temple, just saw 1,000 fertility temple prostitutes. And then he wrote this book, Romans 1. And he starts out in 18 talking about people, Hebrew men, what, and even women, because you had women prostitutes in these fertility temples as well. What are you doing? Why are you turning from God and going to gods? Because God is going to make you where you're going to actually go to these temples and participate in their sexual rituals. And this is what the Hebrew people were doing. This is not a guess. It's not a wish. It's not a hope. It's historical fact. So tell me, how come you have to make this verse say that God is condemning gays? What is vile lust? What are these kind of terms? And then what is that description of list of horrible types of behaviors? From verse 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, it's listing stuff. You know, we have 600 million gay people in the world. Come on, people. Come on, people. You got extraordinary description of behavior that's not sexual. Can't you at least look at the 600 plus million gays in the world and see if you find them matching up to the behaviors in Romans? If you're going to use Romans to condemn gays, you got to match. It's a match game. You can't just say, hey, you know, because as far as you're concerned, you're seeing a male sex, a male person and a male person, no matter the numbers, 50, 60, 70 of them, in orgies and rituals to other gods and everything, going to temple prostitutes and everything, and you say, well, they're male and male, so that's homosexual, so gay is sin. How come you can't apply that to straights? When straights go in orgies and gang rape and stuff like that, you don't seem to have a problem with saying, well, that's not, that's sexual immorality. That's going sex to other gods or something. You know, this is, it's not straight behavior. It is straight misbehavior. So somehow you're able to discern the difference between straight sex sin and sex that is not sin with straight people. So why can't you do it with gays? Because you have an attitude that all gays are not married, so they have to at least be in fornication, even if it's one-on-one, and you still don't get the point of the Bible. The Bible is describing something in extraordinary detail, and it's not describing boy meets boy, they date, they fall in love, and they get married. And today, we got three states that got something like marriage. One of them actually call it marriage. But there's three states. There's others on the way. There's whole countries, Canada, a few other countries in the world. Marriage is now a legal thing. So, people, you're losing your war game about saying gays are out of marriage. The only reason that they're not married according to your standard is because it is you that forbade them to marry. And if we look into anything forbading people to marry, all we can find out is an extreme condemnation by God. Do not, there are people that forbid people to marry. And we usually like to try to blame the Catholics on this, but that's what you're doing. But you can't see it. You're wearing blinders. The nation in Israel, of Israel cannot see Jesus as their Messiah because they're in blindness. The Bible says, in a moment, they will see whom they pierced. Church, I could speak to I'm blue in my face. You're in that same blindness. You can't see until God shows you in a moment. What, when Israel is going to be shown in a moment, what do you think is going to be the world events of the day? Come on, Christian, what is going to be the world event condition when Israel in a moment see whom they pierced? Isn't it going to be around 3 billion have died? Is it going to be horrible disasters to kill all these people? Governments killing people, natural disasters, killing people to the tune of 3 billion plus. When Israel recognizes Jesus as their Messiah, great tragedy has struck it. And people, likewise, when you will see in a moment whom you pierced because you condemned so many innocents to hell without hope in God, you will also have to look around you and see this tragedy, world condition. Because God is not going, He's giving you opportunity to understand it. If you go and you see a verse like Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed, and you think it's because of sex, when Abraham was talking to God about this, it wasn't for sex. Sex could have been a major issue there, and you could find out a lot about the kind of sex going on besides in Genesis about Sodom and Gomorrah, and it sure isn't any kind of loving, caring relationship. But it's so clear. The details are so clear. Every boy, every grandpa, every adult male, all the people. People is men, women, children, all the people, it says. And you can't get around and say all the people meant just guys. No. But whatever the case is, you got lots and lots and lots and lots. Was it hundreds? Was it tens? Was it hundreds? Was it thousands? Was it tens of thousands? Hard to imagine tens of thousands surrounding Lot's house. And what are they going to do? Were they going to have a nice little orgy, little gangbang, have a good old time? They weren't intending that at all. When they were done, the angels would be dead. But there's even more to this story, more complex, more details than you can imagine. And yet you want to sit there and condemn gays and say it's gays when it doesn't describe boy meets boy. They date. They fall in love. They get married. People, you need to understand that when you are condemning gays, you need to find a gay couple being condemned. You don't look for gay being condemned by looking for rape. You don't look for gay as sin by looking for orgies. You don't look for gay as sin by seeing a straight man going to a heterosexual. Leviticus is a Hebrew word named man. It doesn't brought over to English. It means practicing straight man. Hebrew language has a word for a straight man. But more than a straight man, it's a practicing, having sex with women. It's talking about straight men that already been having sex with women, goes over to these fertility temples and go to a temple, male temple prostitute. The Bible is pretty clear on lots of stuff, gives a lot of detail. Once you look into the detail, once you come to a gay person armed with information concerning the Bible, if you say God said, remember, God said means in the Bible. If God said something to you privately, you got a problem if it's not in the Bible. Because is it your spirit? It feels like God's. Is it Satan's spirit? It feels like God. Is it God's spirit? God's spirit feels like God. All the spirits can feel like God. And you got to be discerner of spirits. And the way you do that is if God's saying it, it's in the Bible. You can find it there. It won't contradict the Bible. If you think God hates sin, find it in the Bible. If God hates gay, if gay is sin, find it in the Bible. You say, well, hey, the Holy Spirit, in the interpretation of gay is sin. Well, I never heard this yet. Maybe some of you had. I'm Pentecostal 33 years. Tell me where you get your information. Tell me how you get a verse to condemn gays. If you don't know Jesus right now, turn to him and say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God, and that God forgive you. That God forgave you. God rose Jesus on the third day, and you ask God to forgive your sins, because he paid the price for your sins. Pray a simple prayer asking Jesus into your heart, believing this, and then tell somebody. Then ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Spirit. You'll have the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues. This is pretty important, not mandatory, but being baptized in the Holy Spirit is a pretty neat little thing that God has for you. And get ready, people. In a very short order, lots of things are going to happen. You're going to be shaken to the core. There's 1,260 days to shake Christians because they have believed so many things. Okay, see you next week.